I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. We've seen over the last several weeks when President Barack Obama released the memos, the torture memos, and other memos he released. There was a huge fight inside the White House over whether or not those things should have been revealed. They were. There's a huge amount of talk in America. America is divided on this issue of what to do about the understanding that torture was permitted at the highest levels during the Bush administration. So we're going to talk about that today. What should be done about it is the question. And there are some people who think there should be a special prosecutor. Others think, as a quote that was in The Independent in Britain, where he says, the author of The Independent article, I'll just read you this, said that even before he was inaugurated, Obama made clear that the country would not be served by going after the senior officials who ordered the policy, up to including George Bush himself. Human rights organizations and those still thirsting for political vengeance will complain that once again criminals are getting away. But this president is as correct in his judgment as Ford was in 1974. And when he's referring to Watergate. So we'll talk about that this hour. What should go on at this moment? Others take the very opposite view, saying that what former Vice President Cheney said, that you should look and see what information we got, is tantamount to saying that those who committed torture in the Spanish Inquisition should also be in history allowed to say they did the right thing. What is the reality here? 410-319-8888 for you to jump into this conversation. Joining us by phone is Sophia Nelson. Sophia A. Nelson has served as investigative counsel to the House Republican Majority government and worked on the presidential campaigns of George H.W. Bush and President George W. Bush. She's a regular contributor to Politico and TheRoot.com, edits the blog site Political Intersection, and is the president and CEO of IASC, Inc., an organization dedicated to the advancement of service self-success of black professional women. Sophia Nelson, welcome to the program for the first time. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Hi, thank you. Can I add a couple things to that bio, a couple clarifications? Would that be okay?
Sure, you may.
Okay, just because it's important.
No, please do.
Barack Obama, I worked on his campaign. Okay.
I'm sorry, Sophia, there seems to be something wrong with the phone connection from... So try that again.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
What I said was that I voted for Barack Obama before...
Sophia, I'll tell you what we're going to do. If you hold on one second, we're going to call you right back and make sure the line is strong. Is that all right? I'm sorry about
sure.
that. I apologize.
Okay.
So we'll do that and let you correct whatever I said to make sure it was correct. And the other guest who will reintroduce when Sophia comes back, so Sophia can meet her, is Dr. Christiana Leahy, professor of comparative politics and chair of the Department of Political Science and International Relations at McDaniel College. And she's also on the board of Amnesty International USA. And Christiana, thank you again for coming in to the second, not last second, but coming in again.
My pleasure, always.
And the second time in a week. It was good. The number here is 410-319-8888. And as soon as we have Sophia Nelson back, we will jump right into the meat of this discussion see if we can get a landline or something. Maybe it was a cell phone that was going in and out. So, folks, while we're waiting for Sophia to come back, Sophia Nelson to come back, let me just say that this issue is really going to be a very important topic over the next several months of debate about what to do. There are people who have written articles saying the reason Congress doesn't want to do this because it implicates Democrats as well. That Jeremy Scahill wrote that he said, are leading Democrats afraid of a special prosecutor to investigate torture in America? The question was, how high does it go? Some people are arguing that it goes to the very, very top, though it seems like Vice President Dick Cheney has, in this one again, he's very good at slipping out of range when it comes to being accused of a crime, but it could go that far. Clearly, it affects Jay Bybee, former Assistant Attorney General, the Office of Legal Counsel, John Yoo, John Ashcroft, Alberto Gonzalez, George Tenet from the CIA. Join us here, 410-319-8888. And do we have Sophia back? Are we ready? Okay, she's going to find a landline. So let's just start, Christiana. And as soon as Sophia comes in, we'll let her make sure the introductions are right and that she can jump right into this conversation with us. So what is your take on this? I mean, you have that we have literally an admission by officials of George Bush administration that torture took place, and that it was, even from one memo we saw, that that Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice approved of it in 2002.
Was privy to it.
And
Army General Taguba was probably the highest senior official to actually accuse the administration of war crimes. And now that we have some of the declassified material, we know that they were apprised of this. It's not as if the law got away from them. It was a deliberate policy decision to use torture against not only international laws, which are usually the ones that critics point to, in other words, that the U.S. shouldn't be held to international law, but even our own domestic war crimes act. And that's very troubling because the Military Commissions Act in 2006 was designed to get around one of the provisions, not only the trials, but was to get around our own domestic statute, War Crimes Act, that was passed in 1996, and to provide a blanket sort of amnesty to those people involved, which is tantamount to acknowledging that they've broken the law and they recognize that they're breaking the law.
I guess one of the important arguments here taking place is if we know that this is the tip of the iceberg and that the memos about the CIA torture memos that came out, the information that came out, makes it clear that torture took place. And we can talk about the 10 types of torture that were allowed
right.
in these memos, from waterboarding on through many others. And what then should be done? People on one level are saying maybe there should be an investigation, a commission to find out what the truth is. It could take months and months and months, which is what Nancy Pelosi and others want to do. And others saying, no, there should be a special prosecutor. And if there are crimes committed, that people should be indicted. Sophia, you're back?
I'm back. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, let's try this again.
Now, you were going to correct part of my introduction.
Yeah, no, your introduction is fine, but it wasn't complete.
Okay.
Two corrections. First, I'm not a regular contributor to Politico. I've written some op-eds, but I am a regular contributor to TheRoot.com, Essence.com, right, with The Washington Post, in their Outlook quite a bit, and then I do the blog and everything you said, and also Fox News quite a bit. But I wanted to make clear to listeners that I'm a Republican who considers herself a moderate and voted for Barack Obama and worked in his campaign legal office here in Virginia because I was impressed with him and still am. I'm not happy with this foreign policy right now. So that's I thought that was important for callers.
I appreciate that. Thank you for clearing all that up. It is very important, actually, what you cleared, especially the latter part of what you just said.
Right.
But we were talking as we were waiting for you to talking about what these memos mean and what the understanding that torture actually took place and was allowed under the Bush administration, and what should come of that is the question. And what I read earlier was an opinion piece in The Independent, a British newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
They said we should just let this go and we have to move on, that this will kind of degrade the body politic of America to go forward with any investigation, to see how high up it goes and just what has taken place. And I
agree with that opinion, and I wrote this in my Root.com piece. Having been a counsel on a committee that was investigating the Clinton administration for the alleged Chinese money and you know, Charlie Tree and Johnny Wong and all these people in the Lincoln bedroom sleepovers, I must tell you that I found it distasteful in that it is a very distracting thing for an administration, particularly a young, very young administration, to get embroiled in congressional investigations and or independent counsels that, as experience has taught us all, last minimal 5 years, maybe longer, and at the end of the day, not a whole lot comes from them. And it's a terrible thing, I think, to immerse oneself in. That's my first point. The second concern that I have is as someone who has worked with defense and national security companies as a lawyer here in Washington for the last, 9 years. After 9/11 happened, I became someone that was very interested in homeland security and defense and intel, and started to represent companies in that area and have worked with them. And also my background that we just talked about as a counsel on the Hill. And as someone who has looked at national security documents, et cetera, work with people who do this for a living, I will tell you that I am deeply troubled that Barack Obama, President Obama, released those memos. It wasn't necessary. If he doesn't want to continue the enhanced interrogations, I don't agree with the term torture. I don't think anyone was tortured. I think we interrogated them, and we did so in a way that got us the answers we needed to protect this country. And so I think the fundamental disagreement or discussion that needs to be had is whether or not we interrogated or we tortured. We're not even dealing with the first issue. We're all jumping in and jumping on and piling on. And I also think that there's a context, and the context is September 11, 2001. And these interrogations started in 02 through evidently like, what, 06? And I have a major problem with the fact that Democrats were briefed on this at the highest levels. And regardless of how much Nancy Pelosi protests, she's going to get busted on this because she was in the room. They gave her a virtual tour of what they were going to do. They explicitly talked about waterboarding from everything I've seen, and it's out now in the media, whatever, and people who were in the room who said that. And why didn't she step up and say something? And in particular, when the Democrats took over in 07, they had the constitutional authority and the duty, if they believed George Bush was authorizing torture, to impeach him and bring articles of impeachment, because that's a high crime and a misdemeanor. So I'm a bit concerned with this looking backwards. Now we're going to prosecute lawyers for advice they give. I just think it's all wrong. So, you know, that's my spiel.
That is a spiel indeed.
A great deal said, Sophia. So let me ask Christiana Leahy to respond. You two have not been formally introduced. Sophia Nelson, Christiana Leahy, our other guest, is professor of comparative politics and chair of the Department of Political Science and International Relations at McDaniel College.
Hey, Christina.
Hello.
And a board member of Amnesty International USA.
Very good. Thank you. Nice to meet you.
And not to do a revisal of my introduction, but I've also trained in humanitarian law, the International Institute for Humanitarian Law that trains militaries throughout the world in Geneva, as well as the Harvard Program on Humanitarian Policy and Conflict Research that I did advanced training with the International Committee of the Red Cross on humanitarian law. So we do know what torture is. The international legal community knows what torture is. We have members of the administration, former General Counsel of the Navy, Alberto Moro, for example, put it, the officers at Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib constitute the first and second identifiable causes of U.S. combat deaths in Iraq because they galvanize the jihadis. You have people like Matthew Alexander, who published under that pseudonym, an Air Force major who was a former interrogator, writing in Harper's, hundreds, but more likely thousands of American lives were lost because of policy decisions to introduce torture and abuse of prisoners. So to say that there hasn't been torture, that there's no such thing as determining torture, is just ludicrous. There are very concrete ways. And in fact, the International Committee of the Red Cross reports, which Mark Danner has published in the New York Review of Books, clearly reveal torture. And blaming the Congress for failing to assert itself against the executive, I find just a tad disingenuous at this point.
Well, here's the difference. We're talking about life and death. We're talking about national security, and we're talking about the
Taliban. That's why I read you that.
We're talking about Al-Qaeda.
That's why I read you the statements by the people involved.
You can give me all these reports from these liberal think tanks.
It's not a think tank. Alberto Moro was the General Counsel of the Navy.
I know who Alberto Moro was, and the bottom is, rather, and all I'm saying to you is that we're going to disagree on this, and nothing you're going to say is going to persuade me.
But the question, I'm not really interested in the two of you persuading one another of what, because you two will not be persuaded to agree with each other in the course of this hour. But what I want to do for the people who listen between Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Washington, and Virginia, who are listening to this show, that they hear the arguments on both sides to make up their minds about what is going on.
Well, Mike, the argument starts with whether or not how you define something as torture versus enhanced interrogation. Those are too legitimate for her to dismiss that enhanced interrogations is something that our military uses, is something that we call it. It has been classified as such. And to say that somehow interrogation tactics always constitute torture, that's just not real.
Well, in all fairness, let me let Christina Leahy lay out what she was saying. Christiane Leahy was saying and how she why she defines this as torture, and then and you can respond.
And again, it is not only I who define it as torture. You had the members of the Office of Legal Counsel, like David Levin, going and submitting himself to a waterboard so that he could determine that waterboarding did in fact constitute torture. You have administration officials now revealing that they accuse the administrations of war crimes. Taguba was one of the first to do that. So that is just the facts. The other thing to recognize is the issue of national security, which is why I was quoting those individuals, proving that it not only did not protect us, but in fact actually contributed to a lessening of our security. And that's a very concrete thing. And it gets very interesting if you look at the sequence of events and how things unfolded, because that has been sort of scrambled in the manipulative media. But if you look at how things unfolded, the information that was obtained of any significance was obtained prior to torture. And that those interrogators who were engaged in traditional tactics of rapport got the information prior to the subjugation of individuals like Zubaya and others to waterboarding. So when they were waterboarded, like Sheikh Mohammed 183 times or Abu Zubayev 83 times, it was after they had already given information. So the new speculation was it to provide the propaganda that the administration was looking for in order to go to war? And that's a very interesting piece that once we have all of the data in front of us and we can piece together the sequence of events, that becomes, I would argue, even more deeply disturbing.
Sophia Nelson?
A couple things. Again, I think that the question on the table is, let's take it beyond torture and enhanced interrogations. Let's take it to what is the bottom line or the end game that this president is headed toward when he releases top secret national security documents into the public without, by the way, leasing the other side of the argument, which is many people, including Dennis Blair, Porter Goss, George Tenet, all heads of the CIA, by the way, former heads or involved in DNI, Director of National Security, have all said those interrogations resulted in information that saved lives and thwarted further attempts on American soil. Now, having said that, the issue becomes whether or not this president views this enhanced interrogation tactics as a tool in his toolbox, or he looks at it as something that is completely out of bounds, off limits, etc. Now, if he does, as the commander-in-chief, it is his prerogative, and I support his prerogative, to say my administration will not do these enhanced interrogations. I don't believe they comply with the Geneva Conventions, et cetera, et cetera. But that's something you do with your national security team. That's something you keep in private, because now what we've done, and let's be clear about this, since we're so concerned about the enemy and we're so concerned about the enemy recruiting people, who did what to the enemy, ma'am, I would pose to you rhetorically for the moment. What did we do to someone on 9/11 that caused 3,000 of our people to die and thousands of others to be maimed and harmed? Well, who did we provoke that day? Who were we torturing that day? And the other point I'd make is, you know, talk to Daniel Pearl's widow. His head got cut off for going to be a journalist to report, by the way, to give the other side an opportunity to tell a story. They cut off heads. They rip out toenails. If you read my piece in TheRoot.com, I largely based it on the Washington Post piece that was done on the surge of the Taliban into Pakistan toward Islamabad, how they're killing women for just being women. They're ripping out toenails. They're killing police. They're showing videos and selling them of people being beheaded. But you're going to lecture me and I'm going to be lecturing on America waterboarding? I mean, at some point, we need to grow up and realize that this is war and that this is terrorism and that these people are motivated by religious beliefs. They're motivated by killing the infidel, which we are. And now the president has taken a tool out of our toolbox, which is interrogation, because he's going around and now the media is saying we torture people. So if you talk about recruitment, you're right. You're right on this. I agree. We are now going to help them recruit a lot of people based on what we just released. We're going to help them a whole lot.
Christiana?
Well, that's interesting. I haven't been listening to Fox News enough to get the full force of it. So it's refreshing to see that things are alive and well there.
What does Fox News have to do with that? I'm insulted.
Because
by
the
this.
Level frankly, of discourse.
If you're going to engage in name calling and talk about Fox News, I'm out of here. Because I don't have to put up with that because I'm a lawyer with the right credentials and I'm talking from experience.
All right,
not
so I think we have to like equal time here.
No, it's just the level of discourse. We were just discussing the fact that interrogators themselves, the FBI's own assistant director for counterterrorism, Pasquale D'Amour, for example, stated to FBI Director Robert Mueller, "We don't do that. We don't torture. Someday the FBI will be able to testify that we didn't do that." The FBI director himself has said no significant intelligence is garnered that way. There are reams of former interrogators from the Navy, from the CIA even, who say it doesn't work. You have people who were engaged in interrogations of Nazi war criminals who did not use torture. So that's just something that in our tradition, we are not going to debase ourselves to the level of the Taliban that you're making this odd, bizarre parallel to. We're a nation of laws. We need to uphold the rule of law. The rule of law is applicable to anyone who violates the rule of law. I think it's very interesting that even Secretary Gates has a much more nuanced idea about how these declassified memos really are important. He said basically pretending that we could hold on to this and keep it secret, even if we wanted to, that he thought it was probably, as he put it, unrealistic. His own view was shaped by the fact that he regards the information about a lot of these things coming out as inevitable because of our democratic process. So even Secretary Gates, while not launching an opinion saying, oh, yeah, I think this is great, of course it's problematic for any of the intelligence community. But he's also someone who believes in democracy. So it is inevitable, just like Watergate and the revelations from it strengthen our country by having a special prosecutor, by getting the facts. The facts are important in a democracy.
Let me open the phones and see what we have folks join us here. As you just heard, Dr. Christiana Leahy, professor at McDaniel College, Sophia Nelson, who is a contributor to TheRoot.com and edits the political site Political Intersection, president and CEO of iAsk, Inc. The number here is 410-319-8888. You can write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. Your thoughts on whether or not there should be investigations, how we define torture in America. Was it torture? Was it just enhanced? What was the word we used, Sophia? I'm sorry.
Interrogations, enhanced.
Thank you.
Interrogations.
That's what I was looking for. I just lost it for a minute. 410-319-8888. Your thoughts. And Dale, you're on the air. Hi, Dale. Dale, you're on the air.
Yes.
You're on the air, Dale.
Yes. I would like to say that...
Dale, could you turn your radio off and you can hear better? So can we. There you go.
Okay.
All right, good.
I'd like to mention that I'm a former soldier. I was in the Gulf War in 1991. But I'd like to say that I don't condone torture in any way. But I fear that by going after the previous administration and any in a public investigation, you're going to be showing your hand to your enemy. And the reason I say this is give you a prime example. If anybody remembers the first Gulf War, they were just giving up like crazy. And the enemy were told then that if they were captured, they'd probably be killed by American soldiers. Well, we didn't kill nobody. We didn't kill or torture any prisoners, but we didn't show our hand on the other side of the coin. We didn't show our hand and tell them that we wouldn't. And as long as they we let them think that, then You know, we got information without having to lay a hand on anybody.
Well, let's take this for a second before we open another caller here. And I'd like the two of you, let's just to put something on the table here for listeners to hear very succinctly from both of your perspectives. A is the question of torture. Who defines it? Why do some define these release memos and what the 10 acts that were allowed by the administration to be used, some people call torture and others call enhanced investigation techniques? Which one are they? And that's part of the crux of the debate taking place here. And let me let you start, Sophia, with a kind of very quick definition why you think, A, this is not torture, and I'd like to hear what Christiana says about why this she defines this as torture. Then we'll open the phones again.
It's not what I think. It's what the program was called. It was an enhanced interrogation program, and that's what the Congress House Select and Senate Select Committees were briefed on by the Central Intelligence Agency and others, the National Security Director and others. That's what the program was called. It wasn't called the Let's Torture Program.
No, but I don't see
so
that.
That's my answer.
No, but the question is, I mean, I don't take what any politician says to me on face value.
We're not talking about politicians. We're talking about lawyers at the Justice Department that are career people. We're talking about, yes, the White House Counsel's Office would have had political appointees, but we're talking about intelligence officers who work in the State Department as well as the Defense Department and the CIA who would have briefed the Congress and the administration on the program. And what I'm saying, when I use the term enhanced interrogation, it is not a Sophia Nelson term. I didn't make that up. That's what the program was called. And that's what has been in the media. If you, have watched the reports, that's what they've talked about.
So then, Christiana, why, before we go to break, do you call this torture? Then we'll take a break and come right back.
Because I'm a student of international law, and there are international legal instruments of the Convention Against Torture, of which we're a signatory. There is the U.S. war crime statute that defines things. There's General Taguba's report after the revelations at Abu Ghraib. He was the one who did the investigation. And he said, after years of disclosure by government investigation, media accounts, reports from human rights organizations, there is no longer any doubt as to whether the administration committed war crimes because of torture. So it's not even debatable at this point. There's all kinds of euphemisms, from enhanced feeding techniques, is forced feeding of prisoners on hunger strike. So the lexicon of this war on terror has in and of itself created a great deal of obfuscation specifically designed to do exactly that. Just like renaming POWs because you don't want Geneva to apply to them, we created this bizarre category of enemy combatants, unlawful enemy combatants. So making up terms to get around the law is part of the problem.
Now, we will, Sophia, you can come back and respond to that when we return from this very brief break. We're talking to Christiana Leahy, Sophia Nelson, on the verge of the debate in the U.S. Congress about whether or not there should be a commission to investigate what's being alleged as torture by the Bush administration, or whether it should be a special prosecutor appointed, or whether we should just have conversations about this behind closed doors in the Intelligence Committee and let things move ahead in America. What are your thoughts at 410-319-8888? Pam, Luke, Donald, and Joseph, all calling in from around the state and states. We'll get to your calls in just a minute. I'm going to remind you, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ was formed in 1936 to help people during the Great Depression. Over 70 years later, they're still there to help people during difficult times. More information is available at MECU.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. We're here with Dr. Christiana Leahy, professor of comparative politics and chair of the Department of Political Science and International Relations at McDaniel College, on the board of Amnesty International USA. Sophia A. Nelson is a lawyer. She served as investigative counsel of the House Republican Majority Government and worked on the presidential campaigns of President George Herbert Walker Bush and President George W. Bush and President Barack Obama. She's a contributor to TheRoot.com, edits the political site Political Intersection, president and CEO of I Ask Inc. 410-319-8888. And if both of you guys don't mind, I'd like to jump right to the phones and let our listeners throw questions out for the two of you to wrestle with. 410-319-8888. Pam in Owings Mills, you're on the air. Hi, Pam. You there?
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I have a quick. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right. I have a quick comment, and then I'll just hang up and listen to your response to the comment. I appreciate Ms. Nelson's definition of what's torture and what kind of techniques that the United States was employing under President Bush. And I believe that the term that she used was advanced techniques. However, that was torture, what we did to those people there. And I think that when our people get captured, and the things that they do to our people, we wouldn't call it enhanced techniques. It would be torture. So I don't think that we should try to make a variance between what's torture and what's not torture. It was torture, and that's all I needed to say, and I appreciate you listening to what I had to say.
Pam, thanks so much, and we'll go to Christian Leahy, then to Sophia Nelson for a response to what our caller Pam has raised.
Thank you for that call, Pam. I think that not only does John McCain agree with you, but certainly the CIA lawyers who in February of 2005 prudently obtained from the administration a formal exemption from President Bush's pledge to abide by the Geneva Conventions because they knew that what they were doing was literally committing acts for which the Second World War allies hanged Gestapo, SS, and Japanese POW commanders. So they knew that that was torture. So I quite agree with you. You can call it whatever you like in terms of framing it journalistically, but the law would look at it that way. Even Ronald Reagan's Department of Justice prosecuted a Texas sheriff and his prison deputies in 1983 for waterboarding prisoners. It was against our own laws, let alone the Convention Against Torture, which didn't even go into effect until 1987. So even the Reagan administration's Department of Justice viewed waterboarding as torture.
Sophia Nelson, you can pick up from there if you'd like. And I guess the question the caller was trying to get to is the question of language versus reality.
Well, again, the reality is 9/11. That's the context. I know that we've all passed that. We're 7-8 years down the road. We don't want to operate in the context of reality, particularly folks who tend to be what I'll call them the left and believe or whatever, call themselves progressives. They want to define this as torture. They want to go abroad and say how bad the United States of America is and act as if we are the big evil that's doing this. But I have news for you. Our enemies torture, as I went through, point number one. Point number two, how is America to defend herself? If the commander-in-chief goes out, releases, again, national security documents that he did not have to release. I read the Secretary of Defense's comments, and what he said is that in the political context in which we operate, with leaks all over the place in the context in which we operate in Washington, he's right. The documents wouldn't have stayed underground because it's not the political agenda of the other side to keep them under wraps. They would have leaked out. Okay, so he's right. He conceded on that point. Others in the Obama administration, as we've read in reports, fought vehemently against these being released because they feared the backlash on our intelligence, perhaps on our soldiers, and otherwise. So my basic comment to the lady is, appreciate your comment, but I want to know, and I'd like someone to explain to me how America defends herself in a 9/11 context. To bring up Ronald Reagan is a misnomer because Ronald Reagan didn't have a terrorist attack on his homeland the way George Bush did, 8 months into his presidency, by the way. And I think that the Bush administration should criminalize the behavior of the Clinton administration. If we're going to play this game, let me play devil's advocate with you all. Why don't we go back and prosecute the Clinton people? Because if you read the book by, I can't remember the gentleman's name right now, who actually left his job at, I think he was the first DNI person before we officially called it that, and wrote the book about how They had Osama bin Laden in their sights. They dropped the ball. There were reports about why 9/11 happened and how our intel fell apart. So let's prosecute the Clinton administration, which I think would be utterly ridiculous to do. But I'm making a point here. Since you want to prosecute the Bush administration for trying to deal in the context they had to deal in 9/11, then we can go tit for tat, but it's going to destroy our country if we do that. I just hope everyone knows that when the next Republican administration comes in, get ready, because they're going to go after the Obama administration for what they've done. And that's ridiculous, and that's not good for our democracy or for our national security.
I think that Karl Rove put it the other way the other day when he said what the Obama administration has done in the last several days is very dangerous. What they have essentially said is, quote, if we have policy disagreements with our predecessors, what we're going to do is we're going to turn ourselves into the moral equivalent of a Latin American country run by colonels in mirrored glasses. And what we're going to do is prosecute systematically the previous administration or threaten prosecutions against the previous administration based on policy differences.
Well, I think Rove's being, you know, Rove is being, I don't agree with the sentiments and the way he expressed it. I agree with it the way I just laid it out in a legal context and in the context of, you know, these people at the Justice Department, who, by the way, don't make a lot of money, these career lawyers, these people at the CIA, the people at the State Department, these people put their lives on the line. They risk a lot for us to protect us and keep us free. And I think it's just dangerous for us to go back and look at the authors and the legal opinions of lawyers, intelligence officers, et cetera, just doing their best. Now, we've got to give somebody the benefit of doubt. Now, if you hate George Bush and you hate Dick Cheney, okay, that's fine with me. You can do that. But at the end of the day, America shouldn't be prosecuting former presidents, former secretaries of state, former secretaries of the CIA, I'm sorry, of defense and the CIA, because, like I said, we could very easily make the argument the Clinton administration dropped the ball and caused
I want to get back to callers here, but and so Luke, Donnell, Joseph, Ed, I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, 4 to your calls. But is there a difference between prosecuting people for
for
policy screw-ups that is different than what the international law that we helped write after World War II calls torture?
If you call it, if we can agree that it's torture, you're correct. I'm saying to you, in the legal context in which it was presented to the House Select Committee and the Senate Select Committee, deal with the fact that it was called an enhanced interrogation program. It was not called torture, because had it been called torture, it would have been illegal. And that's what we don't want to deal with.
But I guess I'm going to ask you both this one question, and you can answer very quickly then, Christina. I mean, if and I'm not comparing this to Hitler when I say this, but I just want to raise this example. If Adolf Hitler's government called concentration camps work camps to separate Jews out from the rest of the population, but in fact they were death camps and concentration camps, who cares what they call it?
Mark, that's just so bad. I won't even respond to that. To even bring up Hitler in this context, Hitler was a murderous thug who took millions of Jews and destroyed them, and we sat passively by as a nation and watched it happen. By the way, so to compare that,
I'm talking about language and the use of language.
No, Hitler was a murderer who wanted to kill the Jews, and we're talking about America trying to defend herself from incoming terrorist attacks. There is a big difference between a nation trying to get intelligence to keep their citizens from being murdered versus someone who went out into a country, turned the Germans against the Jews, and said, the Jews are bad, let's kill them, let's burn them. And these people went for that. And I said, we sat passively by and watched it happen. Don't forget that.
We do not. Christiana, do you want to comment? Then we'll open the phones again.
I just find it fascinating in terms of the talking points. No one has even mentioned prosecutions yet. We were just discussing, for example, a special prosecutor in the sense of getting at the truth. Senator Leahy has proposed a truth commission. Even that has been looked at in the same talking points that Karl Rove would give to people like you as just anathema. Oh, my
Mark,
God.
Mark, he has one more time to do that, and this call's over for me. One more time to accuse me of talking points on the Republican side or on the Fox, and I'm done, because then I'm going to start attacking her, and she's not going to like what I say very much. So if you want to have a respectful dialogue and an intelligent one, and you want to deal with my credentials as an attorney, and we'll deal with your credentials as a doctor, we'll deal with that. But you attack me one more time on Karl Rove Fox, I'm hanging up the phone, just so we're clear.
My point is, you've made assumptions that we're even talking about. In other words, when you're not explaining linguistics of torture, let's talk about a truth commission. Senator Leahy has proposed a truth commission. We need to have the truth, irrespective of even looking at prosecutions, although I would argue, being a fan of international law, that, yes, prosecutions would at some point come. But just even objections that people have to this notion of finding out the truth so that we as a democracy can find out where laws were broken.
That's okay. We'll go from there. We're a republic.
Yes, a representative.
But we're a republic. Okay, yeah.
They're not contradictory.
Well, let me see what the listeners get them back in the conversation here. 410-319-8888. And Luke in Columbia, you're on the air.
Yes.
Hi, Luke.
Hi. It seems to me that what we're dealing with is not egregious torture, as in pulling fingernails and toenails, but we're dealing rather with a borderline gray issue of interrogation. And I feel that what we as America need to do is define what we determine to be torture, because it seems like half the side of America thinks it was interrogation and half think it was torture. So I think that's the real argument that we need to get to, is what we determine to be torture. The second point I'd like to make is I do think it is dangerous to declassify documents from our national security. It seems to me it was almost a political game to prove, hey, this is our definition, so, and we didn't like the other people's definition. I just want to get your guys' point of view on that.
That was my point exactly, and I agree with exactly what you're saying. I said that at the outset of this call, that my debate I'd like to see us have, and actually I'm going to get off when we get off the phone, and I'm going to go and look up some of the writings of, I'm sure, this esteemed doctor on the other side, because I'm interested in her perspective. I'm interested in what she knows about in the international law, because I need to educate myself more on, I'll profess, international law. I want to know what is exactly torture and what is enhanced interrogation. I'm like you. I agree with you. I want to know, but I don't want to declassify documents and do so in a political context that emboldens our enemies by allowing our enemies to say, see, the American president's pointing fingers at the Bush administration now and saying they were bad torturers. And then I go out and I declare jihad and I declare a holy war against America and say, see, we need to go take suicide bombers to America. This is not a game. This is real stuff. And that's my concern. I agree with the caller.
Christiana, then we'll go back to the phones.
Well, in addition to international law and the Geneva Conventions, which the U.S. helped to write, that very clearly spell out what torture and other techniques that are considered illegal under the Geneva Conventions. But there's also common Article 3 to all the Geneva Conventions, which is also part of our U.S. military's own code of operation in military engagement. So even the field manual for the United States Army takes the same definitions from the Geneva Conventions.
Well, can I ask a question, and maybe a caller would be interested in this? Does anyone think that we should prosecute our sergeant majors and the men who train in the military? Because you realize we do this to our own soldiers, correct?
We do waterboard
them.
We know
to
that.
Them.
In the series.
Well, not to every soldier.
Well, we do it to probably Rangers and
right. We do it to the elite troops.
Some of the others.
And why do we do that?
Which because is the other side tortures, madam, or whatever you want to call it. You call it torture, they do it. Or otherwise, we wouldn't have to train our people, or they interrogate. I mean, you know, interrogation's been around since, you know, before Jesus. I mean, it's been around a long time.
What happens in the Army is the Army does a kind of a modified water torture on people who are in the elite troops. They don't do the same kind of water torture that the United States conducted or that other people have conducted in other countries with prisoners. So they do that to train the elite troops in case they get caught to
right.
know what they're up against.
Well, I know this. I'm not going to shed any tears, and I'm saying this to all of America who's ever listened for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed or whoever. You know what? I'd have done a lot worse to him, so I think they were nice. And anybody that took out our citizens on that day, they deserve the wrath of God to come down on them. And I'm sorry if other people don't see it that way. They did. And I'm not going to shed any tears that he got waterboarded 180 whatever times it was. I'm just not going to feel bad about that. I'm not.
And I, Christiana, I thought, and I do want to get back to the phones, because I promised we would.
I was just going to say the survival, evasion, resistance, and escape techniques were those that the Chinese communists used in the Korean War, and the U.S. had trained our soldiers lest that happen to them, not that we would, in fact, use the same techniques, just for the record.
410-319-8888. Joseph from Prince George's County, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, one of the issues I was having with that, this whole definition of torture, and I do agree with your example, your question, hypothetical, to your panelists, and that is, you know, Hitler didn't call his concentration camps. And also, as we look at other atrocities throughout the U.S., I mean, all throughout the world, you have to look at, and of course, we're not going to say the fact that it was torture. That probably relies upon the international community or the U.N. or whatever objective standard, whether that was torture or not. And I think by quite a few intelligence, of quite a few experts have determined that it was, in fact, torture. Now, of course, we're not going to call it torture because no African leader has called it genocide or human rights abuses or anything that exists. And it's often, I mean, this is not a left versus right issue. This should be an issue that is pretty much for either side of the aisle. Does the U.S., which we are a country of laws, and we've made certain determinations that we're going to follow our own laws, did we break our own laws in terms of these enhanced interrogation / torture, whatever the case may be? And that may not be for us to make that determination with someone else. And that's my thoughts on it. Well, I do think that you hit the example right on the head.
Thank you so much for your call, Joseph, as well. And before we go to another caller, I mean, very quickly, I mean, if what we're talking about here, if as I've read the Geneva Conventions and our agreements on torture, that the things that the elements we used in the prisoners we captured are in fact torture, and the fact that if by that international definition, if in fact that we also have, by Hamas mentions, 94 people who are missing, who we have captured, we can't account for. I mean, those are, as a democracy, and look, I mean, anybody who's been in any war in any manner of violence anywhere knows that war is the ugliest thing any man or woman can be thrown in the middle of. But that's the difference between that and torture is a huge gap. And shouldn't we as Americans know whether or not this took place? And if it's in fact or it's tortured by the agreements we signed from Nuremberg on, shouldn't that be looked at, Sophia?
Senator Dianne Feinstein said yesterday on either it was Meet the Press or Fox News Sunday, look up the clip. She said, she's chairman of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, and she said this is not a discussion, a debate that we need to be having in the open. Let us do our job. It'll take us about 6 months. She's against the truth, quote-unquote, commission, because she understands as chairman of the Senate Select Committee, this is not a discussion that you have out in the open. These are not documents that you just release into the public domain for a media feeding frenzy to be spun by the left, spun by the right, spun by the middle. Meanwhile, you've emboldened your enemies, you've weakened your nation, and my problem is here, I don't have one caller on this phone that loves the very freedoms of this nation, that says they love this nation, calling in saying and understanding that America has to defend herself against terrorists. And I'd like to know how we defend ourselves against terrorists. If we're going to lay down the weapons, we're not going to do what the other guy does, we're going to be above, we're going to be polite. That's the turn the other cheek philosophy. And as a Christian, I understand what Jesus was saying, and I understand that in my day-to-day life I'm supposed to do that. Right. But let me tell you, if someone's going to kill my family or hurt my family, I'm not going to let them do it if I can prevent it. I'm just not going to do it. Take it for what it's worth.
I hear that, but the question is, people argue whether torture prevents any of that.
Well, I would say enhanced interrogations did. It prevented. Now, somebody's lying or somebody's not lying, well, and the documents need to be released about whether or not, right, whether or not these enhanced interrogations work.
Christiana?
Well, that's where I mentioned the sequence of events. And there's a very interesting Frank Rich piece in New York Times yesterday, literally outlining that sequence of events that raises an even more troubling issue, which is that instead of saving us from another 9/11, torture was a tool in the campaign to falsify and exploit 9/11 so fearful Americans could be manipulated into a mission that had nothing to do with al-Qaeda, the lying about Iraq, basically. And you have evidence that will come forth if other memos are declassified that will show, for example, that the CIA waterboarded Khalid Sheikh Mohammed 183 times, not because they could get more information on the previous attack or attacks that were coming, but so they could get information basically to fit the intelligence. And that's why at the same time you have the British M15 director of intelligence, of British intelligence, a week after the Bybee memo was written, revealing the Downing Street memo, in which the head of British intelligence informed Prime Minister Blair that the White House was so determined to go to war that intelligence was being fixed around the policy.
410-319-8888. Marty in Carroll County, you're on the air.
Yeah, a question. I'm listening to this. I was in Vietnam. I served three tours of duty there. On the last tour that I was there, I was captured and I was held for 13 months. I was waterboarded. I was sleep deprivated and also food. I don't understand what this discussion's all about as far as if somebody did something wrong. Doesn't mean two wrongs are going to make a right. The bottom line is that if the Bush administration is responsible, then they have to pay for what they did. It just goes back to the same thing everybody's been saying. In World War II, you had the same issue. If the prisoners were tortured. And I don't know if anybody really understands what it's like being held in a 4x4 box in the middle of a jungle and not being able to do a thing and laying in their own mess. So, you know, let's get on with what needs to be done. Let's stop fighting amongst ourselves and do what's right. And that's about all I have to say.
Hey, Marty, before you hang up, could you do me a favor if you wouldn't mind?
Yeah.
And we in our ongoing series we do with Vietnam veterans and to get everybody who was there to come together and talk about things. Because if you'd hold on, I'd like to get my producer to get your number so I could call you.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
So we'll get to Marty's number and call him back. And let's try to get another. Well, how much time do we have left here, folks? So the bottom line is, we have to, A, define what torture is. America needs to be able to define what that is to figure out what steps to take next. I mean,
America had thought that she had that definition both in Geneva, which she helped to articulate and craft with our allies from the Second World War, and in the War Crimes Act of 1996. So I think it's just a matter of the law being interpreted. We have the definitions very clearly.
And Sophia Nelson, before we have to run out of time completely, we only have about a minute left. What Marty was saying, if those who in my generation were in Vietnam and fought, and the guys I knew who got captured like Marty, if they were waterboarded and sleep deprived, and we called it torture, and I guess when we put it out, we thought it was torture. Why isn't it torture now if we do it?
Well, as the daughter of a decorated Vietnam vet and someone that was in intel, Sergeant Major, who I grew up with and my whole life, and the uncle, who is also a decorated Vietnam vet who has Agent Orange and all kind of issues because of what he went through in Vietnam, I will just say I respectfully respect the man's service to his country. He's entitled to his point of view. I'm not going to argue with him, but both my father and my uncle disagree with what was done by the White House, and they think it has threatened and weakened the United States of America, and so do I.
But no,
that's,
the question,
that's
but,
my last word on it.
No, no, but my question was if we called it torture when it happened to us in Nam, why is it not torture now?
You keep a question that I've already answered 10 times. I do not define this as torture. It is enhanced interrogations. I am for enhanced interrogations. I think it does save lives. I think it's important for the United States to keep every bit of the tools that we may need in a war against terror to have them at our side if we need them.
So, I'm sorry, Sophia, you've had the last word for today. Sophia Nelson, thank you so much for being part of our show. Christian Leahy, thank you for being in the studio with us and being part of the show as well.
My pleasure.
Thank you all for writing and calling in, and keep writing in. Let us know what you think about all of this issue. The Maryland Film Festival, by the way, runs May 7th to 10th. It's the region's premier film event. Over 130 films of all types from all over the world with filmmakers and other surprises. Films for everyone. For all details and to purchase tickets, to guarantee you can get into the movies you want to see, go to mdfilmfest.com. The Mark Steiner Show is produced by the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Jessica Phillips. We're engineered by Zachary Coleman. Our interns are Christina Arison, Judith Lloyd, Brian Boone, and Jackson Hubolt. Our theme music is by Walt Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again and podcast any of our past shows and hear additional interviews, visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.